I'm just testing my memory, and I tend toward that the golden view of history. You look back on the good old days and how wonderful they were. I know it's not completely true. I mean, we make things look so much better in hindsight. But I don't believe it has ever been rainy on a Mother's Day before in my knowledge in ministry for 30 years. Oh, well, yeah, Houston, yeah, I'm sure they might have been a different thing. Anybody, Sandy Tinney, have you lived here for a few years? Are you new to Aurora? Well, it might have been raining in Seattle, but in Aurora, do you remember it ever being rainy on a Mother's Day? Anybody? Doesn't matter. The memory is one of celebration. And we can remember this one was a beautiful, nourishing, lovely, wonderful rain. Amen. I grew up in the little community of Grand Valley. Then it got renamed Parachute. Well, it was named Parachute, then it got named Grand Valley, and then it got named Parachute, and then it got renamed Grand Valley. So pick your poison and, you know, drive the postal crazy. But anyway, 60s, it was a great place to grow up as a kid. We had a scout troop that could hike and go camping in lots of different places, and we chopped down some trees, a couple of buddies and mine, to make some towers. We chopped down some trees, built a raft to go out rafting on the Colorado River, and it sank, and it was a lot of fun, you know. We did a whole bunch of things. Just a little factoid there. When you cut down a lot of green trees, they sink better than they float. But neither here nor there. A lot of fun. It was easy going, and there was one TV station, KREX. And we got it when the weather was good and the antenna was aimed properly, and there was just whatever happened to be on that one station, which usually wasn't worth watching. So a lot of time out in the wilderness having a great time. And yet, I could not escape, even in those preteen and teenage years, some of the things from the 60s. The Vietnam War was on the back of my mind until I met, the most vivid memory was meeting a woman. And she looked like she was dying of cancer. I did not know what that was at that age. But I asked my mom after, I said, "Why does she look sick?" She said, "Her son is in Vietnam." And that weighed on us. Right up until my senior year, required draft, required enrollment, it was a hard and difficult time. The community divided, protests, and there were people on both sides of that issue, and not to mention the threat of nuclear war. This was the Cold War era, and so there were riots and there were hate crimes. There were hate crimes before they were called hate crimes, and we'd become aware of them, and nobody would then call them hate crimes, but everyone kind of shook their heads in sadness. So I remember that era of the 60s. But then I graduated. It was the 70s, and the world was a ripe peach waiting to be plucked. Boy, was I ever ready. Boy, was I ever happy. Boy, was it a great period of time. And I want to read you the lyrics to a song. And this is 1978. I picked up the paper this morning and read all the daily blues. The world is one big tragedy. I wonder what I can do about all the pain and injustice, about all the sorrow. We're living in a danger zone. The world could end tomorrow. Lord, 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 we got nothing but trouble. I don't remember that. As I was graduating, boy, the whole world was my pearl. Those problems were still there. They still weighed. But you know, sometimes we're not aware of how things have been bad in the past. We tend to look at how things are today and get a little worried. But think back a moment. I don't know how many of us are old enough to remember World War II. Germany was spreading across Europe and they were about to invade England. And Churchill said to the people, "Things are bad." Talk about bad, talk about evil, talk about fear, bombings. I can remember some of those other things. The 60s were the period of assassinations. Martin Luther King, John Kennedy was 63, but his brother Bobby. It was hard times. And I thank God for God's love and that never-ending love, and I forget sometimes to do what we sang this morning, lean on the everlasting arms. Sometimes I learn a song or a hymn, and I get the words in here, but the words are not connected to meaning. I can recite the words without them really connecting to say, we are leaning on God's arms. And Stephanie helped lead us in, I was here to hear your mourning, or Mark led with, I was here to hear your mourning cry. And Stephanie with, nothing could keep me from God's love. Those are good songs, good pieces, and good things to remember and to reflect on. I need to hear those because I get worried sometimes about things going on. I watch too much news. But it's different, too, because the news is now in high definition, and they have drones to zoom in on the action, and they have embedded cameras, and they have things to put us right in the midst of all that's happening. And I think I need to just turn off TV and computer sometimes. Just back away and lean on those arms. Because I get panicked and I feel like the world is out of control. I'm going to move to the middle of the desert and build a huge concrete dome and move Melissa and I into it, and nobody's getting close to us. That's a desire to control and to be safe. I have never been in control. None of us have ever been in control. It's an awful thing to hear. We want that. We want that sense of, but we're not going to get it. He is in control. But without control, we feel vulnerable and we feel afraid, and we put up gates and walls and borders and fences and moats and whoever knows, barbed wire. We close ourselves in and we isolate ourselves away and we stop living and start dying. What are we going to do about that? And how are we to be? And who are we called to be in Christ? Jesus' prayer in John, we have this first scripture there, John 17. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you may have given me so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them. And that feels wonderful, and that feels safe, and that feels secure. And we want that, and we want to be safe and in control and know that God is completely in control and nothing seems to threaten us. We'd like God to put a fortress around us. Did God put a fortress around the disciples? This is Mark 6. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. He ordered them to take nothing for the journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. That doesn't feel like putting a wallop around. That doesn't feel like being set in a safe enclosure. That's the definition of vulnerability in my book. Vulnerable. Jesus is praying for us to keep us safe and to keep us vulnerable, not by separating us from the world, but to be vulnerable to allow ourselves to be in it. Think about that difference. It was last summer, actually. I saw a gal walk up to the front door, and then she stepped back, and she was standing out there, and I, down at the office, I walked around there, and I said, "Can I help you?" And she responded in Spanish, and I panicked, and I thought, "I don't speak any Spanish. Do you speak any?" I said, "Do you speak any English?" "No," she said. She was 20-something, maybe 30. Two kids sitting in the car, leaning out the window, watching, carrying on. They were kind of tussling back and forth. It was kind of interesting to watch. But she said, and I thought, well, I need to just tell her, "I'm sorry, I don't speak Spanish. You're going to have to go find someone who speaks Spanish." And my barriers started coming up, and my boundaries were getting threatened. And I thought, "Oh, Lordy, what do I do?" And then I looked at her, I says, "Where are you trying to go?" And she was nervous too, because here's a person that she couldn't communicate with, and she's trying to, and she said it again, and I said, "Slowly, you know, slow." So she said it slowly, and I said, "No, that's not this." So then she looked at me with this panicked look on her face, and she grabbed her smartphone, and she pointed, and the MapQuest had brought her to here, but it was not where she wanted to go. And I said, "Oh." So then I got out my smartphone, and we played MapQuest back and forth for a while. She had hers, and I had mine. And we're sitting there, and pretty soon here we are laughing back and forth as we tried to communicate back and forth without language, really. And you know, nobody got hurt. Nobody got injured. Nobody. It was a blessed moment. I'm still reflecting back on the blessing of that day, because I allowed myself to be vulnerable. It's okay. God is with us in our vulnerability. He knew. Christ knew we would encounter pain and struggles and pollen and allergies. All right, I'm being a little bit of a... He knew that we would encounter things that might keep us from reaching someone else heart to heart. We might have differences of opinion over something. I can guarantee that everyone in here, we could find something to disagree about. And that's not even hard. What's more important is to know that we find things that we do agree about. And that's why we're here. And that's why we gather here and worship together, and that's whose we are. Because Christ knew that we could also encounter love and grace. Christ prays for us to be in the world, not just sitting outside watching it, not just being in the midst of, but be in that world and be strong enough to remain the Christians we're called to be in the midst of all this going on, because there are a lot of different things that tug at us, ideologies and politics and opinions and reactions. I can name some times when I have been the one that was abused from someone else who is being abused, and they took it out on me. Sometimes that's our role as well, to be the ones who absorb someone else's pain and give it up instead of passing it along. How can we break those cycles of where we're about and of anger and retaliation? And we do that by leaning on the everlasting arms. And when we are faithful, Psalm 1, we are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that we do, we prosper. I love that. That image of a tree alongside the living water coming along, nourishing. I'm ready for that. And we can be that. Jesus did not teach us to build fortresses. Jesus did not teach us to isolate ourselves. Jesus did not teach us to be a homogeneous, monolithic community. I had to get those words together in my mouth. Did you hear that struggle to get those all looped in? That means we can be diverse. And we can be vulnerable. And we can be safe in that vulnerability through Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He sent the disciples out in the world. But he had this last scripture passage. You see, God came to the Hebrews when they were in the desert. They were lost. They're traveling around. And they were confused about where they were. And he brought them the Sinai covenant, the Ten Commandments, to help them become humans. And Jesus now makes a covenant with us. This is my new covenant. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I pray that for all of you. And I pray that you can be vulnerable. And if you are injured, I pray that you can lean on the everlasting arms. But I would be willing to wager that in that vulnerability, you will find grace instead. Because Christ is with us. Amen? Amen.